First book of Psalms, Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Lord bless the hearing and the reading of his words in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, church. Good morning, Daddy. To my daddy in the Lord, I don't think I want to take this opportunity for granted. I just want to thank you for this awesome opportunity to be able to stand in the presence of the children of God. Daddy, I thank you. And I pray for you this morning that your anointing will never be ridiculed in Jesus' name. And Daddy, this is one of your prayers. And I want to join my faith with yours this morning that you will lend to nations in Jesus' name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. The Spirit of God is one. I have a very short message for us this morning, and it's really, really short, but the Lord will help me to deliver this message. So this morning, I have a short message that I call, "The King of Glory is Here." Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
The Spirit of God is one. One of the Bible verses that I want to use this morning was, expressly used by our daddy. And the verse can be found in Psalm 24. And it says, "Lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in." Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. And who is he? The King of Glory. The Lord Almighty is the King of Glory. Can I hear somebody shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So the other Bible verse has a significance with what today is. So, and that Bible verse can be found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 7. So I have three things that I want to mention here this morning, and the three things that I'm going to mention is just to explain who our King is. So that's what I want to talk about. And just there are just three things, and we'll use those three things to pray this morning, and the Lord will bless us as we do so in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So Matthew chapter 21, and I want to read from verse 1. It says, "And when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say that the Lord has need of them.' And immediately immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitude who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." May the Lord bless the reading of his words in Jesus' name. Now, this is actually where we are going. You know, when they approach Jerusalem, so and that was the beginning of this, you know, this journey of our Savior. This is the beginning of the journey that we are enjoying up to today. So the Lord, when they approach the village, and the Lord told them that there's a colt. Go in there and untie that colt. So, you know, the disciples have been with Jesus for a while. And, you know, according to the scripture, when I read this scripture, you know, there was not an understanding that one of those disciples actually argued with Jesus. There was none of them said, "Oh, why? What are you going to do with the colt? What are you going to do with the donkey?" So the disciples went as they were instructed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, you know, the second thing here is that even when the Lord said, the scripture did not even clearly say that the Lord Jesus saw the colt. It was like, just go into that area, you will see this. So it wasn't as if the colt was visible to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had the belief that the colt was going to be there and was going to be used by him. So, and this explanation, this scenario of the colt and the donkey, it's to bring a manifestation of what the prophet had earlier said, you know, that took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Zechariah, which he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is the righteous Savior, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen." It was by getting on a donkey and riding into Jerusalem that Jesus announced that he was coming to Israel. So now, the thing is, that is the background of what I'm trying to talk about. But here, who is this king that we are talking about? So that's the question. So the first thing that I have here is, Jesus that we are just talking about is the true king. Hello? Can I hear an amen? Jesus is the true king. Because if you look at it, this Zechariah's prophecy to refer to the Messiah, to God anointed king, the prophet said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes." That's the king, is the king, true king. "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And that can be found in Zechariah, you know, chapter 9, verse 9. So, then I came to reflect again. So when Jesus mounted on this donkey, it wasn't just an any donkey, though. We need to understand that. Because it clearly says a foal. A foal is a young donkey that is very pure. Let me just put it in a layman's language. It's a very pure donkey. So He was presenting himself as Israel's promised king. Excuse me. He was presenting himself as Israel's promised king. By his action, he was saying, "Behold, your king is coming." So now, the cult that we're talking about, the people of Jerusalem recognized this connection that when they saw Jesus riding on the foal of a donkey, they said, "Hosanna to the Son of King." So, it really must have been a dramatic sight when Jesus approached Jerusalem on a donkey, which was a sign of humility. Now, when he approached on a donkey, and we're talking about Jesus Christ as a king, and a king, if I can refer to some cities in Africa, you know, when the king is coming, the king will come in his majesty. The king will come and the king will ride, you know, maybe the biggest stallion, the biggest horse that you can ever find. That's what the king is going to come in. But if you look at this Jesus Christ that we're talking about, and I'm very much sure that at that time, there would have been so many, you know, horses. There would be so many carriages as they used to use at that time, you know, at the time. But the Lord did not use any of those. So the Lord decided to use the colt, you know. And there are two things that I want us to take note here. You know, the colt was pure and the colt was available. Because when the Lord said, "Go into that city and you will see this." So that means the colt was already positioned himself or herself for the Lord to use. So this morning, as the king, as the true king is within us, I want you to make yourself available. And I want you to make yourself pure for him to use. And this is another opportunity for you to be able to meet with the King of Kings. So this morning, I want us to pray one prayer point now. And this prayer is that I want us to recognize the sovereignty by laying our hearts before him, throwing down our wills in absolute surrender and asking Jesus to govern everything that we think, that we say, and we do. And I want us to let him know that, "Lord, I am available for you for use." Shall we pray, brethren? Father, Lord God, we ask this morning, as you are the King of Kings, ask him to use you. That is what we are saying. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ that you are available. You need to let him know you are available. Surrender everything that you have unto him. Everything you have, your heart, your spirit, just make it available for him to use. As in that, on that day that the colt was available for him, the colt was pure. Tell the Lord this morning that you are as pure as that colt. Tell the Lord that you are available for him to use. Father, Lord God, we just want to tell, we ask this morning that you use us mightily. We are available. We surrender everything that we have unto you. Father, take absolute control. Take control of our body. Take control of our mind. Take absolute control of everything we have so that we can serve you. Thank you, everlasting Father, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. The second that I have here is, he is a victorious king. And I know there's no one that can doubt this one, that our Lord Jesus Christ is a victorious king. Now, the way to enter into this victory is to call on Jesus for salvation, which is the beginning of what is happening today. So, which is what the crowd did when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Because when I was reading that scripture, you know, I come to understand that when Jesus was riding, you know, it says there were multitude. There were people that were asking him for favors. There were people that were asking him for miracles. There are people that are still asking him to do things for them. Even in the journey to Jerusalem, I was made to understand that miracles were still happening. Amen? So when Jesus mounted the donkey, like I said before, it wasn't just any donkey, but specifically a pure bred colt, as Zechariah has promised. He was presenting himself as Israel's promised king. And by his action, he was saying, behold, the king cometh unto you. So the question here is, like I said, So the victory among the Jews, the word Hosanna is not so much a word of praise as it is a prayer. Originally, it comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, where it's a cry for help. Oh Lord, save us. We will cry for help and victory. So now, asking for victory, the crowd hardly understand what they were saying. So many of them were looking to some kind of political deliverance. You know, they were thinking that the Lord Jesus Christ will give them a government. But that is not all the kind of victory that Jesus came to win. He came to give his life as an atonement for the sin, for our sins. The salvation he offered is deliverance from sin, from death, and from the eternal wrath of God. Therefore, to ask for his salvation is to confess that you are guilty. You are a guilty sinner who deserves to be condemned for your sin. Hosanna is partly a cry of victory. He recognizes that Jesus has the power to save, but it is also a cry of needy, desperation. So the prayer of a sinner who needs a savior, save me, Jesus. So this morning, the second prayer that I want us to pray is that we want to ask this son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is here among us, the Lord Jesus that is the rightful king, we want to submit to his sovereign rule. Since he is praised with loud Hosanna, now we want to ask the victorious king to be gracious to you. So when I say to be gracious to you, we said it's a victorious sin. And like I said before, when he was going to Jerusalem, people were still asking him for things, and he was still doing it for them. He was still performing miracles. So this morning, that victorious king that we are talking about, it's here within us. That victorious king that we're talking about is among us. So brethren, this morning, I want you to go to him, and silently, I want you to ask him for that miracle that you have been looking for. Ask him to give unto you those things that you have been asking, that it looks as if time is running out. Ask him, because see, look, he is here with us. He has assured of your victory. He has assured of a breakthrough. He has assured of everything that we can think of. Ask him this morning for that. Because when he was riding to Jerusalem, the Bible made me to understand that he was still performing miracles. So if he was performing miracles, right now he can still do that miracle. He can still perform that miracle. So lay it unto him. Silently talk to him. Silently talk to him about those miracles that you're waiting for. Those things that is yet to answer you. And he will do that this morning in Jesus' name. Father, we just want to thank you because as a victorious king, we know victory is ours. We know you have answered us, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And the third thing that I want to remind us is that our Lord Jesus Christ is a gentle king. Amen? So during the ancient times, when a king rode into a city, it was usually with a show of power and wealth. Thus, one might have expected Jesus to enter Jerusalem at the head of a mighty army, bearing dazzling prizes for his royal treasury. But here is the surprising thing. The rightful king, the victorious king, is also the gentle king. Jesus came to greet his subjects, not with pomp and pageantry, but with all sense of humility and meekness. Amen? So the king's gentleness is symbolized by the mode of transport. And at the very least, one will expect Jesus to ride a horse. But instead of coming on a mighty war horse or a proud stallion, he rides on a lowly beast of burden. He's riding a donkey of all creatures and a borrowed one at that matter. Amen? And like I said, you know, you could imagine that with everything that Jesus has done, with the multitude that followed Jesus, you will expect that Jesus will, you know, utilize some other means of transport other than this that we're talking about. But that will explain to you that the Lord that we serve is a gentle king. The Lord that we serve has every sense of humility. So what am I trying to say here? The multitude that welcome him, it's not everyone that welcome him that appreciated every step, every form, everything that the Lord has done. So that is kind of scary to me. Okay? That is kind of scary to me because the Bible made me to understand that even among those multitude, there were some that were still asking that, who is this Jesus? Amen? So now, if he has been doing this, performing miracles, performing that, so why are they still not, did they not know who this Jesus is? And some of those multitudes, all they want, they thought he was going to give them a government of their own. Amen? So now, having said that, you as a person, you as a Christian, you as an individual, so where would you have been on that first Palm Sunday? Amen? Among the disciples who welcomed him or among the skeptical crowd? It's so easy to condemn those who condemn Jesus, but would we have acted any differently? Brethren, search your hearts. If you are still a Christian that still doubts the power of the King of Kings on that triumphant entry, Jesus was still healing the sick. He was still giving sight to the blind, and he was still giving children to the barren. Today, the story is not different. You can still call on him for your miracle. Amen? So silently again, I want us to go before him this morning and ask for that miracle. Ask for that miracle again. You cannot ask enough. Go before him. Talk to him. He is here. He is listening to us. The King of Glory is here. He is fellowshipping with us. I don't know the form you want to take to talk to him this morning. If you like, be on your feet. You can also be on your knees. Ask him to forgive you in any areas that you have doubted his ability to perform miracles in your life. Go ahead and ask him again. For those things that you would like him to still do for you, he is here. Ask him. Talk to him. Like I said, silently, if you like, jump. If you like, you want to roll on the floor. Because he is here. The King of Kings, the gentle King, is listening to you. He is still performing miracles. Your own miracle can never be different. He will still answer you. Ask him this morning. Ask him this morning. Ask him this morning to ask him for your miracles. Ask him for your miracles in the name of Jesus.
Brethren, talk to God this morning. Talk to God. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. He's here. He can do it. What is that thing that seems difficult? What is that thing that seems you have heard? He's a gentle king. He's asking you this morning, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? He's still performing miracles. Shout to Santa to him this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. Ah, it can only be you, Lord. Thank you for opening the book of remembrance concerning each and every one of us here this morning. And those people under the influence of our voice this morning. Thank you, Father, because we know you have done it. Thank you, because by the time we come next Sunday, there will be testimony galore. Glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.